Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, DIY. Chuck brings the case against his wife, Emily. Chuck performed a little surprise home renovation while Emily was away, but Emily isn't a fan of the finished look. Should Chuck fix it or stand by while a contractor takes over? Who's right, who's wrong? Only one man can decide. Please rise as the Honorable Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and presents the obscure cultural reference.
In 1936, George Nissen Larry Griswold invented the rebound tumbler and gave it a trademarked name, trampoline, after the Spanish word for diving board, trampoline, trampoline. Of the following, which of these was never a commercial brand name? Listen carefully, I'll read it only once. Heroin, barbecue, escalator, Muzak, cellophane, moxie, or klaxon. While you think it over, Jesse Thorne will swear you in.
Please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
I do.
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that all the home renovations in his home are conducted by his two young children?
I do.
I do.
Very well. Judge Hodgman?
Chuck and Emily, you may be seated. For an immediate summary judgment in one of your favors, can you name the piece of culture that I referenced as I entered the courtroom? Emily, you cannot, right?
I don't think so.
What was I gesturing toward?
I'm not sure. I was like looking for a movie reference and then you tripped me up.
Yeah. It was a question that I asked you.
You asked which was not an actual brand name. I think I have the answer if that was the actual question that
All right,
I understood.
Hold on to your answer.
Okay.
Chuck.
Yes.
Do you know the piece of culture I was referencing when I entered the courtroom?
I do.
What was it, Chuck?
I believe you're referencing the Max FunCon trivia that you and I perform.
Well, hosted.
Yeah.
Sort of host. That is correct. I was referencing one of the questions from the pub quiz at Max FunCon that Chuck and I host annually. Chuck, which one was it? What year?
It feels like 2 years ago to me.
So that would be what?
2012, let's say.
Okay, you are incorrect.
Or no, 2013.
You are incorrect. Chuck, this is literally some stuff you should know. All right.
2013.
Chuck, you're out. Emily, I'll rule in your favor if you give the correct answer.
My guess is klaxon.
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Klaxon began life as a commercial brand name. It is a trademarked alarm noise that has now become universal and generic. Just like heroin, escalator, Muzak, cellophane, moxie. I actually had the word for moxie before we had the soda moxie. And the word that I said I would never say on this podcast again, moxie, because they are not sponsoring us. But barbecue never was a trademarked name. That was always...
I guess...
Yeah. I gotcha.
I guess that explains why there are so many restaurants with barbecue in the name.
Do you know what a klaxon sounds like?
I'd love to hear.
Klaxon! Klaxon! Klaxon!
Like I thought.
It's an onomatopoeia. All right. Listen, everybody. You can sense... The friendly interplay and intimacy of our little pre-trial chuckle along there. But Chuck and Emily and I know each other, and so do you, everyone listening, because Chuck is co-host along with Josh Clark of the great podcast Stuff You Should Know, and Emily is his lawfully wedded wife. Right? Is that true? Lawfully wedded?
I do.
All right.
Yeah. We're official.
Not common law.
No.
Mm-mm. All right.
There are papers to prove it.
And who brings this case before the court? Who seeks justice? Is it you, Emily?
Well, I do seek justice, but I was not the plaintiff.
All right.
Yeah, I believe I brought the case, sir.
All right. Tell me what the trouble is, Chuck.
Well, here's the deal. I like to surprise. It's a thing in my household when Emily goes out of town alone, usually to see her family in Akron, Ohio, that I would
Where I will be giving a free presentation at the public library. Check it
my
out.
My entire family will be there.
Okay, it's a free presentation and Q&A session at the Akron Public Library on date enter here. Look it up at johnhodgman.com/tour.
They'll all be there.
And it's first come, first serve. And if you think your family is going to get some special treatment from me and waltz into the public library 5 minutes before showtime, then you're probably right. All right. So you're off to Akron, and Chuck decides to surprise you by getting you flowers or buying you a new VCR. What is it, Chuck? What do you do?
No, I like to surprise her a lot of times by doing a we're renovating an old house that we own, and I like to surprise her with a new project that I have completed.
It's a good thing you're renovating a house that you own.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're not sneaking into homes in Atlanta that you do not own.
Surprise!
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to do a whole total home makeover.
Uh-huh.
And because you're a handy man.
I'm okay.
All right. So where does where does the beef come in?
Well, the beef comes in that when she returned home, she wasn't happy that I did this particular renovation without her consent and input
or knowledge.
And she didn't like the job that I did. She thought it was kind of crappy. And I think her words were, "If you were a contractor, I would have fired you."
And what was the renovation that you did again? You dropped the ceiling 5 feet. What did you do?
I widened a doorway from my dining room into my kitchen. I took it from a doorway into a nice wide open archway sort of thing.
Right, except not in the shape of an arch. Still a doorway, just wider.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah,
it's three doorways.
It's three door widths.
Thereabouts.
So, Chuck, you bring the case before court. It would seem to me, in the ancient legal adage, the doorway is widened, or you can't unwiden a doorway. The damage is done.
Exactly.
Why do you even bother, aside from getting your voice on another hit podcast, why are we here? Is there some movement to unwiden the doorway?
Yes, there is. She thinks it is too wide, and she's not happy with some of the other choices that I made and wants to... I'm taking her to court because she wants to hire someone to correct my the intricacies of my carpentry.
That's one way of putting it.
And I'd like to do it myself.
Okay, so Emily would like to hire a professional to come in and fix what she considers to be broken about this hole in your wall. And you don't and you want me to prohibit her from hiring that person.
Yes, sir.
All right. Emily, what's wrong? What's wrong with this doorway? What are the mistakes that Chuck made?
Well, the first mistake he made was not telling me he was doing it in the first place. So my surprise was not a welcome one, as one would hope a surprise might be. In fact, he tricked me, and this is important, I think, evidence, because when we had come up with a big priority list of projects that we wanted to work on this fall, and when I was leaving, he said, "Hey, I want to do a project. It'll be less than $100, but I want to surprise you with it." And, you know, he tends to get a little bit of project ADD. He'll like go off of our list and be like, "I want to make a new pathway to the house," or "I want to replace all the windows," and, you know, just stuff that gets us away from the projects that we've already prioritized together.
Right.
And so he said, "What would you be mad if I did?" Which I should have just made him tell me. I mean, like, the total trick. So
everyone should say that. Every married person should say that every morning.
I know,
to
right?
their spouse.
And I fell for it. I should have known at that point.
You didn't say light our bed on fire.
Exactly. He'd had like three or four recent ones that I was like, please don't pave the pathway. You know, I was thinking of what he could do for $100 that would make me mad, and I wasn't really thinking that it would involve altering a structure in our home. So I had no idea that this was even happening. You know, I thought I was going to come home to a welcome project.
It was not. It was not widening this doorway was not on your list of priorities. Yes or no?
Never.
Never.
Not on her list of priorities.
No. Right.
No. No. I understand. You've got your secret list of priorities. You're still a human. Yeah. You're still a human being, Chuck, and you still keep a secret agenda from your wife.
Which is fine if it had just stayed on the agenda instead of happening. So
sure.
I come in.
I think what she's saying is she would rather you have had an affair than widen this doorway.
I probably would have been about equally as mad. So I'm in the car and I come out of the airport and he picks me up in his pickup truck and it's full of this old wood. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, what is that? That looks like it's from our house. Oh, my God. Did you do the arch? Did you do the doorway? And he said, yes. Before I can figure out how I feel about it, he starts convincing me like he's, you know, this is great. You're going to love it. And if you don't, like, it's your problem. So I was mad before we even got home. You know, like, he just completely set me up to fail the happy test of whole thing.
But I meant... Emily, as much as I like you, I fear that I may have caught you in at least an inconsistency and at worst a horrible deception.
Uh-oh.
Because you said that he picked you up at the airport and then you asked him, did you widen that doorway? Which would suggest did have some forewarning that a doorway might get widened while you were away in Akron.
Hasn't come up in a couple of years. It was like low on the list of the ADD projects. That's totally true.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Chuck, why is Emily lying? What's going on?
Well, it had been talked about certainly within the past 2 years for sure.
Because between the two of you or by yourself in the morning while you're shaving?
Exactly.
let me think about it, actually. I'm pretty convinced that we had a real human conversation with each other.
I just have to disagree.
Within what period of time?
Oh, man. I mean, it's got to be within the last 6 or 8 months.
We already know because you failed the cultural reference test that you don't understand time.
Well, that's true.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I feel like we have because I've had a bee in my bonnet about this freaking doorway for a while.
Amongst other things, though, I didn't have an idea of how important it was.
No, you don't understand your husband. I understand.
I'm trying.
Emily, I need to ask Chuck some questions now, so please don't interject.
Chuck. Good luck.
Yes. Chuck, please don't allow me to treat your wife as a hostile witness, not you. Chuck, what was the problem with the door? Let me ask you, was this a safety concern? Were you getting a lot of bruises on your shoulder because the doorway was too narrow? Why was this bee in your bonnet?
Okay, well, I sent you some photos. I don't know if you want to review that, but
I have them in front of me.
Yeah, when you walk into our home, there's a nice wide doorway from the living room into the dining room, mm-hmm. and a nice wide doorway from the dining room into the sunroom, and then just a regular old doorway where there used to be one of those swinging doors into the kitchen.
Right.
And I just thought it would look nice if I opened it all up.
Oh, you were upset because it lacked symmetry. It didn't match the other two wide doorways.
Plus it just looks nicer open. And our refrigerator, the left-hand door of the refrigerator would only open 90 degrees because it would bang into the wall. Mm-hmm. And with it open, you can open the refrigerator door more than 90 degrees.
Okay. I can see. Now I'm reviewing these photos that you sent in and... to describe them for people at home, you can go and look at them on our website at MaximumFun.org. But I do see this the original narrow doorway, and now I see the original narrow doorway with one jamb of it, J-A-M-B of it, all torn up and looking dangerous, because that's what you did. And now I see a new framework for a wider door, which I guess is taken from the kitchen into the living room. First of all,
doesn't that look nice?
You have some lovely arts and crafts style furniture in here. How old is the house?
What, Emily, 1930?
1930.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason and then I see a nice wide doorway here from the dining room into the kitchen, and there's a dog in there. Is that your dog, or is that a ghost dog that just shows up in photographs?
He came with the house.
Yeah, he's a real dog.
Oh, he's from the 1930s as well? All right. And then, all right, here I can see. So approximately how much wider did you make this doorway?
Boy, I didn't measure, but...
Well, that's...
boom.
That's interesting.
Am I allowed to interject?
Let me just make a note about that.
You know the old carpentry saying?
Don't say it.
Once and measure nunce.
No. Can we restart?
No.
Nope.
Emily,
Judge,
please keep that in evidence. I allow you to interject.
That was, well, here, keep doing
it.
Do you want me to?
Is it the case that no more need be said?
Well, he basically, that was one of my main complaints. He took those lovely pieces of furniture and shoved them into the wall and made the archway that big.
Exactly.
But it is 9 inches bigger than both of the other archways, so it's not symmetrical.
That's not true.
It's totally true. I measured. I think I even sent a picture of me measuring.
Whoa, haven't you heard about the old carpentry saying?
I made it work with our furniture.
Chuck, why didn't you measure the doorway?
Well, I didn't I didn't think to, because I just thought, hey, let's make it as wide as possible where we can still fit our furniture in the dining room comfortably. Because wider is better and more open is better. I didn't think it had to match the other doorways on the other side of the room.
The reason that your doorway was narrow, I would suspect, is that in the 1930s, you would not want to see the kitchen from the dining room. That would be considered gross. The kitchen is where, you know, servants work and messes are made. And that's why you had that swinging door from the kitchen to the dining room, because that was a passageway not for humans, but for servants.
Right.
And you know, obviously things have gone in a completely different direction in terms of home renovation and the idea of, like, you know, open floor plan no matter what. You know, everyone who goes onto the House Hunters International or Domestic get really freaked out if they can't see every room in their house from where they stand at the center island of the kitchen.
Totally. The open concept.
The open concept. That's what it was.
I just like that Chuck's, like, primary door philosophy is wider is better. Which was the slogan for the Pontiac Grand Prix in the late 90s. Like, he just latched onto it.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember what that was a slogan for. That's right. Wider is better. I used to love to rent a Pontiac Grand Prix back when there were Grand Prix and there were Pontiacs, but not anymore. They're all dead. Could you drive a Pontiac Grand Prix through your doorway?
You could probably drive one into my kitchen now.
Yeah, it will fit.
Okay, what other problems did... What other mistakes did Chuck make, aside from deceiving you, Emily? Or allegedly?
So I walk in. Well, first of all, the dining room light switch is now located in the kitchen, which I object to just strictly because it should be in the dining room. But it also was not... It was kind of next to the kitchen light switch, but down a little bit. I likened it when I was talking to Julia for the pre-court session to Sloth's eyes in the Goonies. Like, one's up higher and the other's down a little bit lower. And it's over, I think I sent a picture of this. It's over kind of right up against the molding.
Yeah.
So, I'm not happy with that at all.
First of all, for those of you who are listening along and have not yet pulled over to the side of the road to check out the website, these light switches are profoundly unfinished.
You see the line at the bottom where he drew it. Like, he did try to line them up. It just never landed there.
He tried to line that, and that line isn't level. Like, that line is exactly. Clearly going up from left to right. Like, he just drew a line between these two light switches. They're different sizes. They do look like deformed eyes. They have no plates on them. It's weird. Chuck, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you have any, and this is really what I'm asking, do you have any electrical training whatsoever?
No. There are a lot of mistruths in that whole last barrage from the two of you. I originally had them lined up perfectly, and they look great. And then I realized that when I would install the molding, that it would it got in the way of the light switch. So I had to move and buttress the light switch out with another piece of 2x4. And when I did that and sunk the last screw, it dropped it about a half inch.
Yeah, because there was no way you could have predicted what that molding was going to do.
Well, hey, molding, I'm not saying
molding is completely unpredictable. It could be no matter. It changes widths like overnight, and you just don't know until you've installed that light switch whether the molding is going to work or not. There's no way you could have planned for this.
It's like an octopus. It's constantly undulating and changing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, molding is pretty much as smart as a dog and can navigate a maze. Within 35 seconds, molding can fit through the necks of most milk bottles and lie in there and wait for a long period of time. It's an incredible thing.
Oh my
molding.
God.
You just don't know, and it'll change colors. And if you anger it, it will shoot off poisonous spores. So Emily, there really was nothing that Chuck could have done to make those light switches line up, because he had them perfect, but then the molding came along and just messed everything up.
Well, exactly. And while we're on the molding, if I may, the molding that he chose is not the same layout or kind of molding that's on the other two doors. So it's like an inch thinner and completely different style, and not within the style of the house or the time period, like
Emily,
the rest of the molding kind of is.
How long were you away?
I did this in a day, dude.
Good Lord, I couldn't do this
two days.
10 million years.
Well, evidently I can't either.
I mean, this is some pretty... Chuck, what you say you have no electrical training, which causes me great alarm that you are installing electrical outlets and stuff. You're doing some rewiring in there, right?
No. I didn't have to rewire. They existed. I just had to move them.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Into the kitchen.
But you turned off the electricity in the house before you did this, right?
Yeah, that one area of the house, sure.
Okay, right. Okay, gotcha. Where did you learn to do all this stuff?
I've been teaching myself home renovation since we bought this house, and I think it's important to note that my way of doing carpentry and things as a completely untaught person is very artistic and organic, and I tend to figure it out as I go.
It does have an element of outsider art to it, that's for sure.
It totally does.
And self-taught.
Is this a new thing? Because, you know, I've known you for a while now, Chuck, and I never would have thought, oh boy, if you turn your back on that guy, he's going to start widening doorways. Now I kind of feel like that time, I think it was in 2013, when we shared that cabin together at Max FunCon. I'm surprised it didn't come down one morning and find that you had installed a porthole in the wall. Look, I built a secret room. Yeah, well, and by the way, why didn't you build a secret room if you're so ADD, as you say, if you're so obsessively into renovation? Do something useful and build a secret room.
Or something on our list.
What else is on the list, Emily?
Oh my gosh, we've got a ton of stuff.
Dude,
we're
going to
die
with this house unfinished.
Yeah, we've been DIYing it for almost 9 years.
I understand, but give me your top. If you were going away and Chuck were to have surprised you with something that you wanted and cared about, it would have been one of these top three things. Go, Emily.
Well, he calls us the 90% club, so he could have finished any of those projects. Painting the top of the hallway.
Boring.
It's still missing where... It's been unpainted for 5 years.
Boring.
You're putting me on the spot. I should have brought this list because we came up with a huge list. He could have taken up the tile in the kitchen because
Seems like neither of you prepare for anything. You just wing it.
I was waiting to see what he said.
You wing it in renovation. You wing it in my courtroom. Yeah, you should have thought about the things that you might want to have done.
I have a list. I just don't have it with me. I promise. I'm a planner. That's part of the problem. I'm a planner. I organize. I plan ahead. And Chuck just like dives in the middle and goes, I'll figure it out from here.
Right. And are you a planner and a doer? In other words, do you execute the plans, or do the plans just get as in my case and in my marriage, the plans for anything just get more and more obsessively refined, but nothing would get done until my wife comes in and goes, "Oh, just widen this doorway," and does it.
Yeah, I'm definitely the one that kind of gets things moving forward. Right now, I'm more of a planner than a doer because I'm so busy at work. But generally, I am the one that kind of gets us on the right page and going in the right direction. We always joke, I'm the designer, Chuck's the builder. That's kind of how it works. So he should have consulted the designer before styling our new doorway.
So the only thing you can think of, though, that you would have preferred would have been a nice surprise would have been to come home to a painted ceiling.
A painted wall. He could have started on any of the... Well, yeah, a lot. I guess I will be honest. A lot of the stuff requires continuing to work on it because it would mess up a room of our house, like taking up the kitchen tile. We're about to redo a bunch of stuff in our kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I can think of a bunch of things, actually.
He could have organized
I'm
the basement.
I'm just not going to help her out
here. But we had a list.
Yeah, you... Yeah, Chuck, I think your defense is very interesting, Chuck. I could think of a bunch of things that would have made Emily very happy, but I decided to do this one instead.
Surprise.
Yeah, because they're boring things, and this made like a big difference. So like, it's awesome.
Yeah,
and she likes it wide.
Gross.
I know. I didn't know what to say about that. I will acknowledge I like it wider, but it needs to be fixed. It needs to match the rest of the doorways. And while I didn't even finish explaining what was wrong with it, and I did send pictures, though. The molding where it meets the floor is a mild disaster. He kind of cut some steps. He cut some shapes out, and things are... I think he was just going to throw a bunch of caulk in there and be like, look, it looks great. Like, it's kind of like Emperor Has No Clothes. Like, he just tells me it looks great, and I'm supposed to believe it looks great. But I was not on board with that at all.
So
I don't really think he had a plan either.
I'm seeing here, Chuck, a photograph of the floor between the dining room and the kitchen, and yes, you do need to replace that tile. Gross.
Well, no, that was on my fix it list.
I know, and so, but there's a big hole in the floor. I guess that represents where the wall originally met the floor.
Yeah,
and then you
got
that out. And so here's the thing, Chuck. Truly, and I ask all of you listening along to go look at photo number 8.
Which one is that?
It's after photo number 7, new placement of light switch. Photo number 8 is captioned simply issues. So you can
take it photo number 8 was mine.
You can see very clearly that where the door was widened, where the original wall ended, and now there's a big empty gap where the original wall once set in.
Yeah.
And then you slapped up your 2x4, whatever it is, to mark out the new door jamb and painted it white. And this is not done, obviously. So
no.
How would you begin? I'm so unhandy. I wouldn't even know how to begin to resolve this ugly, unsightly former wall hole in your floor. What do you do to fix that, Chuck?
Yeah, you would take up the old what's it called? Is it the not a transom, but the little thing between one room and the other where
sure,
the doorway is?
Sure.
The door jamb.
Look, you don't measure, and you are completely self-taught. You might as well come up with your own. You might as well come up with your own name for it.
The floor riser.
The floor. Call it the door line piece. Call it the thing between. the thing between. Yeah, you pull it the thing between.
I would pull up the original thing between and install a new wider thing between that would cover all that junk up.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nice wide wood thing between.
Nice wide wood thing between, and this is something and you go to without mentioning names, you're getting all this stuff at a big home renovation supply store.
Yeah, big box store. The thing between is might be something you have to order, or I might be able to make it myself.
You're obviously using power tools. I mean,
how do you
cut out the wall? Like, what did you do? Is this structurally sound? Is the house going to collapse now? Did you cut out a load bearing up and down wood piece? That I'll call it.
No. It's all sound. It's it's really easy to widen a doorway. I mean, all you do is rip off the molding, exposing the frame, and then rip out the frame and then cut the drywall back to where you want it and put in a new frame.
But if I may add, the carpentry of finishing it is much more complicated, and that's where we're running into the issue.
I don't know. I mean, as long as you don't measure, I think you're safe.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, Emily. You just nail up some thing betweens, a couple of ups and downs, a couple of number by numbers. You just nail them in with a claw pounder, and you're done.
Pretty much.
How long have you been teaching yourself how to tear your house apart, Chuck?
How long have we had the house?
Almost 9 years.
Yeah, 9 years. And that was a flurry of activity for the first few of those years.
Have you ever...
And then not as much since.
Have you ever... You say widening a door is easy. Is that based on lots of experience widening doors? Or this day that you just made the hole in your house bigger?
No, that day, like, I did it and I was like, well, that was pretty easy.
Yeah. So now you're offering... you've done it one time and now you're offering me, John Hodgman, masterclasses. And how to smash out parts of the wall.
Yeah, Chuck, it's pretty easy.
Uh-huh. Why, at the very least, not match the set aside width for a moment, the molding and the millwork of the other doors in the room?
That was a mistake, probably, but it was sort of too late. By the time I had widened things, the original molding in those rooms is super wide, and it won't even fit now.
What do you mean?
Oh, like it won't. It will overlap like our nice bar and our dish cabinet.
It will be behind the furniture.
Oh, yeah. I see. Oh, I see. Because the furniture, right?
Because I widened it too much.
You widened it too much. That's an admission of something, I believe. There, I see what you're saying. So the frame of the original. Matching framework would actually impose on space where you have this lovely, beautiful marble-topped bar and then another thing, what do you call this, a dish cabinet?
My grandma always called it the kitchen cabinet.
Kitchen cabinet, right, okay. So, right, okay, so you, you chose...
Plus, I didn't think it really mattered.
Well, it matters.
Okay.
Thank you.
I guess it depends on whether you're trying to increase the value of your house or decrease the value of your house.
We're definitely trying to increase.
Dude, in a million years, no one would walk in to buy our house one day and say, the molding on that doorway doesn't match the one on the other doorway.
I completely disagree.
I heartily disagree with you on that.
Yeah, apparently everyone does.
We've always wanted to have an argument in front of a jury of our peers, so we're very happy to be here.
Yeah, I think that you are perhaps underestimating prospective buyers' interests in doorways looking like they belong in the same house together.
But, no, it's not that far off.
Mm-hmm. So what it's is not, your... All right, how much money did you spend on widening this thing? Did you keep to that part of the bargain at least?
Yeah, it wasn't very expensive at all to get to where I am now.
Right, how much?
Oh, I don't know, like... All I really had to buy was that molding and...
That garbage molding, right?
Yeah, and a little drywall, and that's about it. So less than $100.
Less than $100, okay.
So, yeah, the rest of it was just brawn and sweat.
How much?
Me.
Well, I know, and I'm sure that it was extremely therapeutic to you. Emily, how much do you think it would cost? At this point, you don't want to re-narrow the doorway. You want to keep it the way it is?
Well, I want to add a little bit back, and that's where we ran into some problems, simply because, A, I would like a little bit of wall around our furniture so we can have the right molding, right. And B, because I really want the light switch back in the dining room. I'm pretty emphatic about that. So that means bringing it back out, which means we would have to have a framing carpenter and a carpenter, you know, that knows how to work with the molding and the floors. I mean, like, our floors aren't level, our walls aren't plumb. It's a complicated task that was well beyond Chuck's scope of work anyways. Like, I don't even criticize the fact that he wasn't able to do it, just the fact that he is insisting that he should fix it.
And so, Chuck, do you agree that you should narrow the doorway and make the molding match and everything else? Like, are you amenable to that? I guess what I'm trying to ascertain is whether you just object to the idea of bringing in a professional with experience now to do those final steps, or whether you want to take a crack at it.
I think that making it more narrow now would be open up a big can of worms because of a lot of reasons. It's old plaster and lath on the dining room side. And to make that, you know what that is? Do I need to explain what that is?
Plaster and lath?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what it is. And I made a quiet decision in my heart that I didn't care, but go ahead.
Well, walls, these days, walls is are made from sheetrock or drywall.
Sure.
Back in the olden days, it was plaster and lath. So there are these tiny little strips of board that were coated in plaster. And so we have plaster walls. And it's hard to marry that to a modern drywall look. It just looks weird. Like we'd end up having to rip off that whole wall's plaster and lath and replace it all, I think, if we tried to make it more narrow again.
Is your opinion based on any expert consultation or just your gut feeling of how the walls in this house work?
No, just from experience, putting drywall next to plaster, they're two different surfaces, basically.
How do you answer the great plaster and lath issue, Emily?
I disagree that it'll be an issue. I think that there are ways, you know, with mud, there are ways to marry the two. And I'm surprised Chuck didn't bring this up because one of his arguments when we were discussing was going to be all of the other problems in our house. But
yeah, no kidding.
The dining room, it was basically we inherited it painted like layers of paint over layers of wallpaper. So there are already lines or seams within the walls anyways. It's not like they're these really pristine walls. It, you know, looks like they belong to an old house. It's just one of the things you inherit when you take on an old house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that it can be done without, you know, an enormous discrepancy in surfaces.
So, Chuck, you don't want to re-narrow the door. What do you need to do to finish this project to your satisfaction? Sit down and have a beer now and you're done?
I think I would want to leave the molding as it is because no one cares.
Mm. Wait
leave
a
it
minute.
As wide.
Hold on.
Welcome to my world, guys.
I think you know at least one person cares. And I think technically you have a certain obligation to care about what this other person cares about.
Okay, All right, fair enough.
Leave the molding alone, because no one cares, except for some dope who also lives in this house.
Dopey enough to marry me. Leave the molding as is, leave it as wide as it is, and just finish it all off nicely and finish the floor off nicely.
Okay. Do you feel if I were to rule in Emily's favor and she brought in a real ace framing carpenter, regular carpenter, a plaster and lathman, the whole works, how would that make you feel?
That's part of the problem is what's going to happen is some dude is going to come into my home and he's going to say, who did this? This is wrong. This is wrong. Who did you hire? Who is this guy? And I'm that guy.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
That's absolutely
some guy's not
going to
come in our house and start. No, I think that's part of his argument. I don't think that's reality.
No, I think that that'll probably happen.
Yeah, it seems likely.
Maybe in
to
his
me.
Head.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to come in, you know, like.
No, the first thing those guys do is you've seen Homes on Homes. They love to pick apart the work of other contractors that came before.
Sure. Admittedly, they're trying to make television there. But I think that Chuck's instinct is probably right. Whoever comes in there, if they don't say it, is going to think, who did this? And then all Emily would have to do is say, my husband. And they would go, oh, I get it. And then
they
would never mention it again. But it would be humiliating to you, Chuck.
Well, you know what? If she's insistent on this, then she needs to do it when I go out of town.
See, that's not fair. This came up before. He said, if you're going to hire somebody, I don't want to be here. I'm like, so you've created the problem and you're leaving me to fix it. I object.
Yeah, but you're not the one fixing it. You would be hiring a human to do it.
Yeah, but you have to manage the human. That's a whole other set of.
Yeah, but you know what, Emily? Looking at what Chuck's doing these days, I'm not sure I would trust you to manage a human. You're not managing this human very well.
Well,
you already got one human that you're managing.
She has a history, too. I need to She has a history of arguing and fighting with contractors.
Torrid affairs with workmen?
No. Of hating their guts and fighting with them.
One person. The them is one person.
What happened? What did this person do wrong?
Everything.
We had a bathroom renovation that we hired someone to do, and it was just, you know, those things never go like you want. It always takes too long and costs too much, and...
He lied. He told lies. That made me mad at him.
Yeah.
To get out of things that he was supposed to be doing.
All right, final arguments. Emily, how much money are you willing to spend on a top plaster in Lathman? A number one qualified and certified Georgia State door narrower at this stage.
Well, I guess expect to and willing to are different. I want it to be done correctly. We have some other projects that we need, you know, like we need some drywall replaced in one of our rooms that was a DIY project gone wrong because it was hard and the walls are weird. You know, I would expect to pay probably a few hundred dollars. It's materials and labor, and I really don't think it's, if it was that easy to take apart, I can't imagine it's that hard to put back together.
A few hundred dollars. That's,
I mean, that's just out of my hat, though.
If you were truly a planner, you would have gotten an estimate and brought it to this court.
Well, I was waiting on the ruling. I wasn't going to waste my time.
How much do you think it would cost? How much do you think it would cost, Chuck?
Well, I think there's a lot of disrespect to this court from my wife, so I'd like to apologize on behalf of her. But I feel like
the court enjoys a little contempt from time to time. It is not so fond of pandering.
Thank you.
I knew that. I was hoping to get a shut your pie hole or something.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Jesse.
Shut your pie hole.
Jesse, I'm not sure that it was even you. Do you have a shut your pie hole on a soundboard like a Mr. Rogers prank call now?
Well, I have a couple different shut your pie holes on the soundboard. I want to mix it up a little bit.
Next to the Iuga horn.
Yeah. Klaxon! Klaxon! I'm sorry, I pressed the wrong button, you guys. I apologize. How much do you think, Chuck, it's going to cost?
Oh, probably 500 American dollars and some ego manhood points.
All right. I think I've heard everything I need to. I am going to widen the doorway to my chambers so I can finally walk in there with ease. I'll take a moment and consider my decision. I'll be back to render my judgment.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Chuck, how are you feeling about your chances in the case?
Well, I feel like once Hodgman heard it was a few hundred bucks, because that's just like, you know, he likes cigars with $100 bills, so I figure he'll say, dude, pay the few hundred bucks and be done with it. So I don't anticipate I'll be ruled in my favor.
If you've got this list of things that both you and your wife have agreed upon as priorities, why did you not just do one of those?
Because this was my priority.
Boom.
And I wanted it wide, and it's awesome this way. It's so much better.
Emily, how are you feeling?
I feel like justice will be served. I believe I have a solid argument.
Do you really think that you're going to get a contractor, potentially even multiple contractors, in and out of your house for a few hundred bucks?
Well, in addition to other projects, yes, I think that could be tacked on. I really thought about what it would, you know, what I think it would be like building a little bit of a frame. We did go through, we worked with a carpenter to widen our basically create a wall of our house and turn it into an closet. And, you know, I kind of saw what went into framing, and it's a couple of 2x4s and some nails, you know, like this isn't an enormous frame. Yeah. And a claw pounder. This isn't an enormous project to add, you know, a foot back onto the wall.
We'll see what Judge John Hodgman has to say when we come back in just a second. You're listening to Judge John Hodgman. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. Of course, the Judge John Hodgman podcast, always brought to you by you, the members of MaximumFun.org. Thanks to everybody who's gone to MaximumFun.org/join. And you can join them by going to MaximumFun.org/join. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Stitch Fix.
You know that boost of confidence you get when you put on an outfit that just feels good? You know what that's like. That's what I get when I use Stitch Fix. With Stitch Fix, you get a human stylist, not AI. A human being who understands your style, size, and budget. They do all the shopping for you, and it's the easiest way to update your wardrobe this season or any other.
This professional stylist picks the clothes. They can either send you a box where anything you don't want is unbelievably easy to return, or they can make a little storefront for you just from stuff that they recommend for your taste and your body. It is an absolutely incredible service. They give you styling advice, outfit recommendations, the whole thing, soup to nuts. And like I said, if you don't want it, if you don't like it, it is unfathomably easy to send it back. They give you an envelope that's big enough, that has the postage and the labels on it. All you have to do is shove the thing in there, close it up, and drop it off at your local mailing center. It is that easy.
Can I also say the stuff that my stylist at Stitch Fix picks for me, I really like it. Like, they know me, and it's really terrific. Plus, if you've got small people in your life, sadly, my small people are now adults shopping for themselves. But if you've got little kids, it's a terrific way to get togs for your kids. Style that makes you feel as you want to look. Get started today at stitchfix.com/JJHO. That's stitchfix.com/JJHO. stitchfix.com/JJHO.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Aura Frames.
Hey, Mother's Day is coming up. Do you have a mom in your life that you'd like to celebrate? There are very few better ways than giving an Aura frame to someone you care about. These are beautifully Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos of your memories with your mom, stepmom, mentor, friend, whatever it is in your life who might enjoy seeing photos from your life. Aura frames are the way to go.
Judge, there's a very special mom in my life, Ms. Teresa Thorne.
Yes.
That's my wife and also a whole human being in her own right. Guess what's on her bedside table? Yes, that's right. You guessed it in one, an Aura frame. What I love about the Aura frame is you don't have to load a bunch of stuff onto an SD card or whatever, like with the old digital frames. It is so easy to get the pictures on there. So like when Teresa texts me a cute picture of one of our children or our dog, or one of our siblings texts us a cute picture of one of them or one of their children, all I have to do is hit that share button on my phone and I can share it right to the frame and then it lives there for as long as I want. I can also take it off whenever I want, but I don't even have to open the Aura Frames app, which is a great app. But I don't even have to go there. It just goes straight into wherever I want it, whichever frame I want, or I have multiple Aura frames in my house, or all of them. It is incredibly easy. That's why Wirecutter chose it as the best digital photo frame. That's why it's one of Oprah's favorite things. It is guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com. to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AURAframes.com. Use the code Hodgman at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
Well, there are a lot of things that I have to balance here. The aesthetics of your home, the long-term goals for whether you want to live there or sell it at some point. Chuck's manhood.
Thank you.
Emily's reasonable expectation of matching molding. And, of course, the complete unpredictability of any construction project. You never know how big that hole's going to get. Yep. Who knows? Well, that's interesting that you agree with something that I was presenting as a sarcastic example of something that is not true.
I didn't pick up on that.
I have to say, Chuck, I admire you deeply, even more than I already did, for being the kind of guy who can actually cut a hole in a wall and get it to the point that it looks not completely terrible,
and thank you.
And with the possibility with a little bit of finish,
looking like it might have been done by someone who receives money from time to time for things.
Man,
you know, I as someone who is profoundly unhandy, I could not fathom how you have done what you have done. And if I, well, the only way I could imagine it happening would be if I had a horrible sleepwalking incident and just went to town. And since you know that you have my admiration, you will take it in good spirit when I say it kind of looks like you did this in your sleep.
It looks homemade.
It's a little homemade looking. You know, the fact that it did not occur to you to measure the width of the door, the fact that you winged it, shows. And you know, so on one hand, it's incredibly impressive. On the other hand, it's sort of like, yeah, there is an aesthetic issue here. One, whether the door should be wider or not. The reason that these doors were narrow, as I say, and had swinging doors on them, was because the kitchen was not considered, when these houses were built, was not considered to be a place for company. It was a workspace and an intimate, maybe an intimate family space, but often just a pure workspace that you hid away so that you could serve company in a respectable place like the dining room, and so you wouldn't want to look at it. And having a you know an open concept as I do here in Park Slope makes things feel very light and airy, but it also makes you appreciate like there's nowhere to hide the mess. And if you're the kind of people who want to use that dining room and use those lovely martini glasses that I see on that bar there, and maybe have me over for dinner sometime, you're going to be facing this issue of like, well, the kitchen looks like garbage. If we hadn't widened this doorway, we could just close the door and just have a great rest of the evening and deal with it in the morning. But now it looks like garbage and everyone feels terrible. I appreciate looking at all the angles of your dining room, why you thought that the kitchen door should be widened, because the other doors are nice and wide and it really does create better flow through. And I do feel that, you know, now that it's done, you kind of can't go back to the original small door, and it doesn't sound like either of you really wants to. But Chuck, you are guilty of two crimes. One, not taking sufficient care and planning in what you're doing, and two, not alerting your wife to the project that you are going to undertake. And consequently, this extra wide door is going to, if allowed to stand the way it is going to be an open wound in your marriage for as long as you live in this place.
Sounds like a curse.
And who, you know, to that degree, I say, who cares? You guys are entitled to ruin your marriage as much as you want, but don't ruin the investment that you have put into this home. Chuck, your idea that not in 1 million years will someone come through there and say, it's weird that the molding doesn't match, is beyond wrong. You are absolutely, absolutely incorrect. I think it's something that someone will notice right away and wonder what happened. Because your house is old and it has clearly a lot of craftspersonship was put into it when it was built. And it was probably built by people who measured a thing before and knew the knew the names of the pieces of wood that they were nailing onto other pieces of wood.
And threshold. That's what.
Yeah, talking. Threshold. There you go.
Threshold. Yeah. Remember that thing you carried Emily over when you married her and promised to respect her by not bashing holes into her house without any consultation whatsoever?
I thought it was a thing between.
Yeah. Also known as wooden thing between. I think it's amazing that you did this. Unfortunately, you did not do it right. And it does need to be corrected. So now the question is, do we let you correct it, or do we let Emily hire someone to correct it? And I have to say, my instinct would be to say, all right, Chuck, you started this, you finish it off,
as best you can, and to a degree of perfection that resonates with you. And then Emily can take a long, hard look at it and say, well, you know what? It does look okay. Because it's still incomplete. I hope you agree that it's still incomplete. There are big holes in the floor, and there aren't plates on the light switches and everything else. And sure. Give Emily a time to live with the choices that you've made and see if she feels okay about it. But the problem with that is that I think the door is too wide. I think that you made it too wide. The door should not be wider than the other doors. I think that it makes your kitchen cabinet and your bar look crammed up against the walls there, and it looks and because the molding doesn't match, because you made the door too wide, it looks a little junky and not okay. So I am going to find, in Emily's favor, the door should be narrowed to match the other doors and finished by a professional of her choosing. Unless, Chuck, do you want to try narrowing the door? You think that it can't be done?
I think it would be a big pain in the butt.
I think that you're admitting that shows incredible personal growth at this point.
Agreed.
because you know, you guys have dogs, and you do not have children, unless I am mistaken. And if I were in your situation and my wife were to go out to Akron, I would be watching movies all weekend. Smashing an extra hole in the wall is the definition of a pain in the butt to me. So acknowledging that there is a pain in the buttness is a good step, as far as I'm concerned, into my mission, which is to emasculate you down to my level of never doing anything like this.
I want you to
continue to swing hammers in your home. I want you to take on ambitious projects. I want you to do it. And the fact that you're self-taught is amazing. But I also think that going forward, you can't be impulsive when punching holes in the wall. You need to take a little bit more time to plan it out in conjunction with the woman who also owns this house with you, and make a plan so that you're both happy about it. As for what to do with this particular thing, I think the doorway needs to be narrowed a little bit. I think Emily's got to hire the contractor. I think Emily's got to oversee the contractor, and you're not allowed to leave the house until it's done, Chuck. You can't go to Akron and hide from this. If anything, I would say, maybe, Chuck, you find someone with a lot of experience. Maybe you go and hire the contractor. In fact, this is what I'm going to say. You go and find the contractor, and you own up to the fact that you don't just inherently know in your hands how to build homes, and you find someone and say, look, this is where I got so far. My wife thinks there are some mistakes. I'm acknowledging that there are. I'd like to hire you to come in, and I'd like to watch what you do and help out if you'll let me. You might not be able to for insurance reasons, so I can learn better how to do it better next time. And I bet you'll find a contractor or someone with more experience than you at the very least who will say, sure thing. And you give that guy some money, you'll learn a whole lot, and next time you won't be taken to court by your own wife. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules, that is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Chuck, how are you feeling?
A little stunned by that last bit of punitive add-on that I did not expect. I did not expect to be ruled in my favor, but I didn't think that I would have the punitive measures taken to basically force me to, hat in hand, call the dude and say, I stink at this. Will you teach me?
I mean, to be fair, so you do stink at it. You could really use someone to teach you.
Oh, this is the worst possible outcome.
It's an opportunity to grow.
Emily, how do you feel?
I feel great. I feel like that's exactly what should have happened.
And she's farting daisies.
I wouldn't say it that way. But I would like to add, because Chuck did not come to his defense with all of the great projects he has done. Sometimes this approach works for him in certain applications. This was just not one of them. So I would like to add.
Thank you.
Yeah. He could have done a little bit better job of defending himself, I think. So I just wanted to add that.
Chuck, Emily, thanks for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Judge John Hodgman, are you okay?
Jesse, yeah, I was just pounding with my claw pounder and I hit the what's the technical term for the thing that the small thing that comes off your hand?
Are you talking about your thumb?
I think it's a 2.5 inch appendage.
Yeah, that's a thumb.
Ah, all right. Anyway. I'm in incredible pain is the point.
Judge Hodgman, you gotta stop undertaking these wildcat chambers improvement projects as a surprise for me in the time between when you leave the courtroom and when I join you in chambers. And there's only like 5 minutes. What can you even get done?
I know it wasn't anything you ever were interested in, but flattening my thumb has been on my agenda for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know. Hey, our thanks this week, speaking of agendas, to the great Chuck Bryant, who was kind enough to detail all of the bad decisions he's made for our entertainment. And Chuck is the host of Stuff You Should Know, the co-host of Stuff You Should Know, along with his co-host
Josh Clark.
Josh and Chuck, every week on their show, they detail all the information you never knew you needed to know about some fascinating topic. It's a great show. It's funny and charming and sweet and highly informative. Highly recommended from myself. I'm guessing you probably recommend it too, right, John?
I recommend it very highly, and indeed, unless it is a secret, and it will no longer be a secret when I tell you that they're doing an event in New York City on November 11th, and I'm going to do it with them somehow.
Ooh.
We're going to work it out. I love performing with those guys. They're great. I think they just sold out a bunch of theaters in Canada, because Canadians are curious. Everyone knows that.
Oh, Judge Hodgman, I have a live show coming up here in Los Angeles.
Well, tell me more about it, please.
Well, I will be hosting an evening of my public radio program, Bullseye.
Love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That will feature all kinds of extraordinary things, performances, interviews, and we've just announced a couple of guests for the show. I will be interviewing the great Dan Harmon.
Ooh.
Creator of the television program Community, star of the, from what I hear, I haven't seen it yet, but from what I hear, superb documentary, Harmontown.
Yes.
Certainly critically acclaimed, from the director of Beauty is Embarrassing, the wonderful film about Wayne White.
Jesse, Dan Harmon's a legend of comedy.
Right? Created Channel 101, co-created Channel 101.
Heat Vision and Jack.
Heat Vision and Jack, the greatest unaired comedy pilot ever.
You know what else he did? He co-wrote Monster House, a really fun animated film that I like.
Yeah, there you go. Dan Harmon. He's a winner. And then we're going to have music from the great Sarah Watkins.
Jesse. Sarah Watkins.
Yes. Yeah, you know, from the Watkins family in Nickel Creek.
She's a legend of music.
She is. She has already revolutionized music. She's still only in her early 30s.
Good heavens.
Beautiful voice and a beautiful fiddle player.
I better learn to play an instrument because I am falling behind.
Hey, you're telling me.
In my mission to revolutionize music.
And then, of course, there's the world's most beautiful stand-up comedian, Mr. Steve Agee.
Well, Jesse, he's a legend of gigantism.
Yes. He's a huge man and very funny.
Yeah, he is really, he's a gentle giant.
So gentle.
Have you ever had a chance, Jesse, to see Steve Agee perform stand-up comedy in the afternoon for a group largely consisting of seven-year-olds?
I haven't seen that. Have you had the opportunity to see that?
It's a very unusual thing to see and very special. But if I had my choice, Jesse, I'd prefer to see Steve Agee on stage in a Masonic temple inside a cemetery in Los Angeles. But where can I do that?
Oh, yeah, well, you can see him on stage in a Masonic temple in a cemetery in Los Angeles, specifically the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, October 15th here in Los Angeles. And you should buy your tickets now because it's not a huge place. Go to MaximumFun.org and, you know, the live show links are on the right there. You go down to October 15th, you'll find Bullseye Live.
Wait a minute, Jesse. Are you telling me this is all the same event, live Bullseye with Dan Harmon, Sarah Watkins, and Steve Agee in a Masonic temple inside the Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Los Angeles, California, and you can get tickets at MaximumFun.org?
Yeah, and you know what? There's still one slot that we haven't booked yet. I mean, there's going to be another amazing celebrity on this thing. This show's going to blow people's minds. There's no doubt about it, at least not in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jesse. Fantastic.
I'm so excited about this, and I want to do shows there all the time, but we can only do shows there all the time if we sell tickets to them. So please come, and you know, if you're in Los Angeles, come so that we know that we can do these more regularly. And if you're not in Los Angeles, please spread the word about it to folks you might know who are in Southern California so we know that we can do these around the country, because we're really excited about doing more Bullseye Live shows and me talking to awesome guests all over the world and, you know, hearing from awesome bands and comics. And we have a lot of big plans, but we can only do them if folks buy tickets. So the ticket link is at MaximumFun.org, and it's October 15th at the Masonic Lodge at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. John, you're also back on the road, right?
Yes. Since the beginning of this podcast, I have consulted my personal diary. And I can now tell you with certainty that the Akron, Ohio event that I am doing, that I spoke about with Emily and Chuck, is happening on October 22nd. This is a free event sponsored by the library. I'm going to show up, do a little reading, do a little talking, do a little Q&A-ing. First come, first serve, so come on along. But around that whole time, I'm also going to be doing shows in Philadelphia, in Madison, Milwaukee, two big shows at the Up Comedy Theater in Chicago, Illinois. And a triumphant, I hope, return to the Rex Theater in Pittsburgh. It's going to be a lot of fun. I had an enormously fun time meeting all of the Judge John Hodgman listeners who came to my show that I was doing with David Reese in the past week in Durham and Atlanta and Birmingham, Alabama with Jason Sims. It was an amazing evening, as was Austin, Texas, so and Los Angeles. So thank you guys for coming out. And just in case you're wondering, if you have seen a show by me in your city within the past year, then the show you're going to see this year is not the same. It'll be new.
Our show this week, named by Rick Amick, longtime supporter. Thank you very much, Rick. If you want to get in
Thanks,
on
Rick.
The game of naming a Judge John Hodgman episode, like Judge John Hodgman on Facebook, where we also just launched the MaximumFun.org Facebook group. You can get in on that at Facebook.com/MaximumFun.org with the .org. As a dot, not spelled out. And you can also follow John and I on Twitter. I am at Jesse Thorne. John is at Hodgman. You can discuss the show in our forum at forum.maximumfun.org, in the Maximum Fun Reddit page with other fans at reddit.com/r/MaximumFun. Lots of folks doing that lately. And, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter with the hashtag JJHo. We appreciate anywhere that you are engaging more deeply with our program. It's fun to see people talking with each other about it, and we're always grateful when folks are spreading the word. So thank you much to everybody.
I share Jesse's thanks, but if all of that social media stuff feels complicated and annoying to you, you'd blow it off and send us each $10,000, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to engage with the program, from talking about it with using the special hashtag to sending us non-consecutive, unmarked bills. If you have a case for Judge John Hodgman, go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. There is all the information that you need to submit your case right there. You can also follow Judge John Hodgman in the pages of the New York Times Magazine.
Well, Jesse, here's the thing. That's not going to be true anymore.
Oh, I had no idea.
Because New York Times Magazine, which is still one of my most beloved magazines, has changed editors-in-chief, and my understanding is that they are no longer doing the page in which my columnette appears. I ended up really enjoying doing that little column, and I thank everyone who wrote in specifically for it and read it, and I may try to do it somewhere else, but for now, the last print episode will appear on September 28th, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, you got a few weeks left. Get on the bandwagon. Wait, like 1 week left.
1 week left.
On behalf of the great Mr. Judge John Hodgman, I'm Jesse Thorne. We'll talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Court is adjourned. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.